What is going on, everyone? Welcome to the Hoops Crush podcast. That is Brady Parks. I'm Eric Brandt. Brady, I don't think we have much to talk about in the last week before our previous episode. Not much has happened in the NBA, right?
No, nothing has happened. This is about to be a pretty boring episode, but we're going to get through it strong.
Nice. So how was your week? How did everything go? I know you streamed for the drafts both days.
It's been good and overwhelming at the same time. I don't know why, but whenever trades like start happening as a content creator, I get kind of overwhelmed because I feel like I gotta rush things, and I don't know. It's weird, and I try not to be like that, but I just like to talk about things as soon as possible. But other than that, it's been great.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll get to one of the deals for our Portland Trailblazers that happened right as we were going live for the draft coverage.
That was another part of it that was like, oh my gosh, what the, because I was like still doing stuff, and then that happened. I'm like, oh my, I'm like, bro, what is
very interesting timing.
Yeah,
I actually Tori was preparing for the stream, and I actually broke the news to him like 5 minutes after it happened. He still hadn't heard it yet, which really? Is kind of surprising in today's day and age.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, so we need to go live, talk about the trade. He's like, what trade? I'm like, so I got to hear his immediate reaction.
Yeah, I'm sure that was overwhelming to him too.
But the night before the draft is when the fireworks start. The New York Knicks make a huge trade for Mikal Bridges, get another member from the Villanova Wildcats. I know you got some heat for having some video or a video where Mikal got traded to New York. There was a lot of people who said that Brooklyn would never trade Mikal to New York.
Right.
So what did you think when you saw not only did that happen, but how much New York gave up to get him?
Yeah, I was a little surprised about the compensation. It's like, I don't know. I thought it'd be like at least four, but getting on top of four, they got four on top of, or they got four and then more, some more on top. So very big return for the Brooklyn Nets, but this is exactly the direction they needed to take. So it made a lot of sense for both sides. And obviously when trades happen, at least for me, and I'm sure most of everybody is also like this, you start to think about why did each team do this? What's next for them? And then obviously when it comes to Brooklyn, very easy. It's rebuild time for them. And they immediately, of course, as we know, got some of their picks back. Which another trade that happened, but New York obviously loading up, and what Woj said is they're loading up to try to beat the Boston Celtics, get all these wings, and everyone was like, oh, does this mean OG is gone? And I never really thought that. I was like, there's no way OG is gone. They gave up a lot to get him back. I think adding Mikal and OG is kind of crazy. I never thought those two would be on the same team. It's actually insane that that's happening right now, because those were two guys that the Blazers would have loved to have had, obviously, and the fact that they're on the same team is pretty insane. But yeah, obviously the Knicks overpaid. It's I think anyone could agree with that. But New York and Brooklyn do not trade with each other. It's been like since the 80s or 90s since they last made a trade with each other. So I kind of figured it would have to be an overpay by the Knicks side. And you already knew that Brunson and DiVincenzo, Josh Hart, it was pretty easy to see that Mikal, if he were to be traded, is probably going to be the Knicks or to the Rockets because the Rockets have their picks. Or the Knicks have the Villanova thing. So, like, one of those two teams was going to get Mikal, and obviously ends up being the Knicks, which I think everybody saw coming for the most part. The reason why I got so much heat was because I traded Randle in the trade. I still think there's a chance that Randle is moved, but he will be a little bit harder to move. I'm not sure I like him on the team anymore, but I don't know. We'll see if they end up ever doing anything with him. But, man, the Knicks, yeah, they overpaid, but their team is going to be extremely fun next year.
Yeah, so OG resigns the next day for like 5 years, $215 million or something like that. I guess the Knicks were hoping to get him somewhere in the $30 million range.
Right.
OG wanted more like a max contract in the $45 million range. And they ultimately have to give him what he wants because they, like you mentioned, I think they were kind of stuck. Once you go all in, you can't just then lose your other forward you just traded for. So I think they were going to be in a position where they had to pay him whatever it took to retain him. I think obviously OG knew that as well. But yeah, that's crazy. I mean, Mikhail and OG, like Mikhail doesn't have to guard like the team's best, the other team's best player. He all of a sudden like a second point of attack defender. Like it's just insane. And now the Knicks are in a position where they are loaded at every position except for center.
Right.
We'll see what happens there. Isaiah Hartenstein is a free agent. There's all kinds of rumors that of teams that'll potentially offer him a big contract.
He's a thug.
Yeah. But we'll have to see, because if they can convince him to stay, maybe take a more team-friendly deal than what he would get from the other teams. This team is crazy. I can't think of a team that has or has had more just like effort defensive wings. Because you got to throw like Josh Hart in the mix too, and DiVincenzo's decent on both ends as well. So just crazy amount of guard and wing action for the Knicks.
The lineups that that Knicks team can run is going to be so much fun, man. Like, you could do, like, OG and Mikal and DiVincenzo on the floor together. You could have Josh Hart. And there's just so many different combinations they can run. Jalen Brunson obviously will still be the primary scorer, but you have so many guys around him that are just going to be pesky on defense, hustlers. Like, the Knicks, they were fun to watch last year, and I can't imagine how much more fun they're going to be. I'm still interested and curious to see what happens with Randall if they do decide to keep him. If they, you know, maybe they're able to move him, but I think it's going to be a little bit harder to do so. But yeah, interesting trade to start this offseason. And once we saw that and how much it cost to get him, get Mikal, I was like, yeah, this offseason is about to be crazy. Like, this is about to be a crazy offseason, because that was insane how much they gave up. So it ended up being like six picks in total. Well, six firsts, right? It was like four unprotected first rounders from the Knicks, and then a pick swap from Milwaukee. And then a protected, or it was like some unprotected pick swap, and then a protected Bucks pick. So, and then a seconds, I think, or a second swap or something like that. But a crazy amount of pick compensation. And of course, Bojan Bogdanović for salary filler. Wild trade for sure. And Brooklyn, shout out to him for finally picking a freaking direction.
Well, that Milwaukee pick is for us Blazer fans. That was the one we acquired in the CJ McCollum trade for New Orleans that turned into that pick after they made the playoffs. Otherwise, we would have had a second lottery pick that draft. That was the draft we took Sharp. So we used that pick to acquire Jeremy Grant. And then subsequently, due to the cap savings we provided Detroit in that deal, they were able to flip that pick and their cap space to New York to get the draft rights to Jalen Duren. And then New York uses that pick. So it's only top four protected. So it's basically five unprotected picks.
Yeah.
It's not like the pick we owe Chicago right now, where it's lottery protected for several years and might not convey or whatever. So that one's almost certainly going to convey. So yeah, just a crazy haul for the Nets. And then they turn around and do what I think was one of the smartest things I've ever seen a rebuilding team do. And that was maybe give up some potential future assets from other teams to make sure you secure your own picks back so that you can properly rebuild and not have a situation in a better draft one of the next 2 years where what happened this year in this draft, where they had the ninth worst record, ended up moving up into the third spot, but Houston got their pick unprotected. So they just lost the third pick. And they don't even have Harden anymore or Durant or Kyrie or anything that they were trying to assemble that team for, where they gave up that pick. So they went from a really, really tough situation where you're not going to be good enough to make the playoffs or make a run or anything, but you're also screwed if you lose games. So they went from that to controlling pretty much the rest of their future. I think they still owe one more pick or a swap or something to Houston down the road. But it's several years from now, so you think maybe by then they can get back to, you know, play in or playoff contention, so it's not quite as bad. And yeah, so I really like what the Nets did. Just fully embrace the rebuild. They don't have a guy you can like kind of say is the guy we're building around yet. So they needed that guy. And I think if they're as bad as it looks like they'll probably be next year, they should be in a prime position to take someone near the top of the draft. And I believe already looking at it, there's going to be four or five like legit difference making possible build around guys at the top of that draft. So you don't even need to get number one and have a chance at like Cooper Flagg or Ace Bailey or anything like that. You just need to get in the vicinity of the top. And so I think they, with a lot of teams improving and not really wanting to tank that much anymore, I think the Nets put themselves in a great position moving forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely agree. The Nets did exactly what they needed to do. So, of course, they make the Mikal Bridges trade. They go to Houston and they get their 2025 and 2026 pick back. And then they send over the Phoenix Suns, I believe, 2025 and then 2027 first. So we're very happy with the Nets did. I'm sure Nets fans are probably happy about it too. And then we talk about the Rockets, who have the Suns picks now. And a bunch of stuff just started firing off from Woj that the Rockets, the reason why they were able to, wanted to do this trade, because I'm sure the Nets wouldn't have done this, wouldn't have done the Mikal Bridges trade if the Rockets didn't agree this beforehand, by the way. So like, yeah, you could say that, oh, the Rockets should have just kept the Nets pick because they're going to be bad. But this wouldn't have happened at all. None of this would have happened, obviously. I think that's, you know, pretty obvious. But so Houston wants control of the Phoenix's picks because they want Kevin Durant or Devin Booker, because Phoenix will eventually probably implode, which I actually agree with. I do think, and I'm willing to admit if I'm wrong, I do think the Rockets are eventually going to do something stupid. I don't like what they're doing. I don't like the idea of trying to rush things. They made it sound like they were going to trade the third overall pick. Obviously, they didn't end up doing that, at least at this point. They drafted Reed Shepard, which we'll get to eventually. I don't love it for the Rockets. Like, not the fact that they made, but I don't love the reasoning behind what they're doing. Like, having those Suns picks could be awesome because the Suns are probably screwed, right? But the fact that they're probably going to bail the Suns out by trading for Kevin Durant or Devin Booker, I eventually think it's going to end up being a mistake because, you know, when we did our young cores, I said the Rockets had one of the best young cores in the NBA, and I still think that, but they are eventually going to screw it up, I think. So, but hey, I'm willing to admit if I'm wrong, if they're able to somehow build a team that wins a championship or makes it far and it was all worth it for them, then I'll admit I'm wrong, but I think they're making a mistake if they do eventually try to trade for like KD or something like that.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also think that they already kind of made a mistake. And I know you said they wouldn't have done it, but they had Brooklyn's pick, so they didn't have to agree to anything, right? They could have just said, no, we don't think you're going to be good, so yeah, go ahead and keep Mikal. That led to us getting the third pick this year.
That's true. That's very
true. Like, look what we could have got. Like, look what we could potentially get next year. But Houston is, for some reason, they're thinking bigger and want to make it happen sooner rather than later. And I don't agree with that either. I just think unless you know, like LeBron is a different example because, I mean, he went to teams that he knew he could get other stars to join him and stuff like that. And then the Lakers in 2019 offseason, they end up having a guy like Anthony Davis forcing his way to the Lakers. I guess the Suns kind of had Kevin Durant force his way there as well. Harden forced his way to Brooklyn, all that kind of stuff. But outside of LeBron and the Anthony Davis one, there's not a lot of examples of a team like trying to shortcut the rebuild and then it like ending in a success, right?
Right, exactly.
So, I mean, even the Nets, they were coming off a season where D'Angelo Russell was an all-star. They make the first round of the playoffs. They seem like they're on kind of an upward trajectory with a young team and just scrap it all to go all in on Kevin Durant and Kyrie. And they never make it out of the second round. So I don't know. I'm with you that I think, especially if it's for Durant, like if you can get Booker, maybe he's still, you know, in that range where he's got a long window of right. his prime left over. So if you get a guy like that, it might be different. But I don't like planning like you're going to get him eventually because, I mean, there's 30 teams and you might have a pretty good trade package, but you don't think like the Thunder have a good trade package or one of these other teams. Like Brooklyn, if they start to get good in a couple of years, they couldn't now have some young talent to trade. So yeah, it's, I don't know. There's lots of teams that have assets that they could move. And I don't know if also Phoenix is like, well, we don't like that you tried to get our picks and screw our team over.
Right.
Like, so they might not trade with them or might ask for more than they'd have to give up to. So then Houston's going to like overpay for someone. I don't know, man. It seems weird. And we know Houston has been trying to get McHale for a while as well. So it's one of those rare instances for Brooklyn where they actually, I think, got better value by waiting. So that's kind of crazy as well. Just a real interesting group of trades.
I mean, it worked for Morey too when he did the Ben Simmons trade. It worked out for him then. He still got a decent return for the James Harden trade as well. So, and then, yeah, as you mentioned, the Mikal Bridges, obviously, that is a massive haul. So, yeah, sometimes waiting does work. Another thing is Matt Ishbia has already said he doesn't care about picks. So, and right. it sounds like he's going to own the team for a while. So does he even care that the Rockets got their picks? Probably not.
Yeah.
But maybe he eventually changes his mind about the whole thing once he sees this inevitably fail, because it most definitely will. I don't think the Suns are winning a championship anytime soon. But we'll see. We'll see what happens, man, because I think Houston is eventually going to make a mistake. But, you know, I'm willing to admit if I'm wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, see, this leads into what happened with the Blazers. So right before the draft, about an hour beforehand, we got the tweets that Portland was acquiring Denny Avdia from the Washington Wizards. And it seemed like a lot of Blazer fans were like, who? Like they didn't know much about him. This is a guy who is young, he's tall, he can do a little bit of everything on the court, decent rebounder, decent ball handler, decent passer. This last year he had his best three-point shooting year, so maybe that's something that has improved for him where he's a three-point shooter now as well. Just on the path the last couple of years kind of quietly because he's played for Washington, but if he played on a better team, he might have garnered some all defensive team votes because he is really, really good on defense. And he's only, 23, I think? Maybe he's 23, right?
I think he's 23.
So in my mind, those are the kind of players these teams like the Rockets – and you know, the Nets or whatever should be going after when you're like a young team trying to take that next step, like an established player that's still young. And so that's why I thought it was good for the Blazers to do that, because they're kind of in a similar situation where they have a lot of young talent, hasn't come together yet. And hopefully in a year or two with Scoot and Sharp and all those guys, they start to figure things out. But adding a wing that's cost controlled for 4 years, Denny's contract is declining. So it's about $15 million coming up, and then it drops down to 11 something in the final year of the deal. And that's going to be one of the most insanely valuable contracts in a few years in the entire NBA. It already is a pretty good contract. And so I thought, no matter what you thought of the compensation Portland gave up, which was they gave up the 14th pick, they gave up the second most favorable between three picks that they have in 2029, including their own, Boston and Milwaukee. And then they gave up a second round pick, or two second round picks as well. If you think that was a lot or not, I think in this situation, when you locate or target a young wing that can do a lot of the things that your team has needed, primarily on the defensive end, and then has a pretty cool offensive skill set as well. The last 3 months of the season, he averaged nearly 20 points, 9 rebounds, and I forgot how many assists, but it was a pretty good amount of assists as well, as he kind of took over as the lead player on that Wizards team. It's just, I thought that was a really nice, savvy move. I'm always a little disappointed when a rebuilding team gives up draft picks, but in this particular case, when you get... Oh, we forgot to mention Malcolm Brogdon was in the trade as well.
Yeah, sorry.
In this particular case, in my opinion, when you give up those picks for a guy who still fits with your core and at the four position, which I'm assuming he'll play primarily, if depending on what happens with Grant, I guess, I think you needed that kind of player with the roster you had. And so I thought this was the first move where I could see, okay, they targeted a player they wanted. They went out and got him. It cost a little bit of their future capital, but this is a guy who could play a role as part of the core for a long time.
So, yeah, I think you're right to feel either way about this. You can think that Portland overpaid, or you can think that that's fine. And you, when you really break it down, so we gave up Malcolm Brogdon. Sounds like Brogdon didn't have any trade value. They didn't trade him at the deadline, and now he's just thrown in kind of a salary dump where we included picks on top of him. And he goes to Washington. Or go ahead.
Can I just say something about that real quick? Yeah. Brogdon did have value, just not to Washington in this trade.
Yeah, I guess
the value, right. The value was as an expiring contract, not if we would have traded him elsewhere, we probably could have gotten something. But this is the problem.
You think it would have been a first, though? Or
no, I don't think it would have been a first, but right. That's why I wanted to trade him for whatever you could get an expiring contract, whatever you could get pick-wise, an expiring contract at the deadline, because then it would have already cleared that money off the books. And then when we trade other players, we wouldn't have had to worry about any kind of money coming in or out, or whether we're... it puts us more in the tax or out of the tax or whatever, because I believe in this particular trade, I mean, we've already gotten the stuff like, see, you guys shouldn't have panicked about the luxury tax. But when you give away a player that has value, but in a trade, he doesn't have any value for that trade. That's exactly the type of scenario where I was worried about when you're in the tax heading into an offseason as a rebuilding team, because that absolutely did factor into this trade. It's probably why we had to give up a couple of seconds on top of those two firsts. And it's probably why we gave up like the second most valuable instead of the worst of those three, things like that. And then on top of that, you gave up the picks, but you didn't get a pick or anything for Malcolm. So
yeah,
he was just like a throw into the trade to make it work financially. I think no matter what contract we would have given them, I think the pick compensation was enough for Denny that they would have likely done it. So it could have been Thibault, it could have been Robert Williams, it could have been any number of players, and I think they would have been fine with it because they were more interested in getting the 14th pick and a future pick, and they really were headed in that direction where they wanted to add a bunch of youth to their roster, which is cool, I think, because that's exactly what they should do. So it's just kind of frustrating that people don't see that did factor into this trade. But props to Joe, he's already solved the tax equation, right? That's exactly what he needed to do, and he got it done. So yeah, good for him.
Maybe we'll get an answer on Brogdon's value if the Wizards are able to flip him. Like, imagine the Wizards flip him for a first. That'd be kind of crazy. That'd be wild. Yeah. I don't see that happening, but maybe I'm wrong. But
With him, so he still has questionable medical records, right?
Exactly.
And the reason why I know that the Wizards did not care about who the player coming back was, they didn't care about his medicals. They were like one of the few teams that were going to take Brogdon, whether he failed the physical or his medicals look washed or whatever. They were going to take him as part of the deal if that's who we wanted to deal, because they just wanted the pick compensation. And who knows if another team, or if, like you said, if they Washington flips him, who knows if another team will look at his medicals and be like, yeah, this guy is cooked, you know?
Yeah.
It'll be very fascinating to see if they can flip him, because I'm sure they'll try at some point.
Yeah. So you trade the 14th pick as well, and when you saw the board at 14, Dalton Knecht was a guy that it sounded like we were pretty high on, so maybe we traded the right to draft Dalton Knecht over Denny Avdija. But to me, I think I'd rather have the 6'9 guy just based off this roster alone right now. Denny Avdija is kind of a forward that we've needed for a long time, and the fact that Avdija's contract descends and he's locked up for like 4 more years on an incredible salary, I think that obviously factored into the trade as well. His contract is amazing. If you haven't looked at it, look at it yourself. His contract is incredible. I think he's going to be making like $11 million in the last year of his deal. Unfortunately, trading the 2029 first round pick hurts, but we truly don't know what that will turn into. It'll be the middle of those picks. So maybe down the line in 2029, which is obviously 5 years from now, so who knows? Maybe we'll regret that, because maybe the Bucks and the Blazers or Bucks and Celtics are terrible and there's 2 lottery picks in that situation. And so maybe that happens, but the fact of the matter is,
still get the highest of the three.
Yeah, we get the highest of the three, and we got a forward that we've needed for quite a while, and he will actually rebound a little bit, which also is amazing, and he will be able to play defense. And I think he's a perfect fit next to Scoot and Sharp for the future. So by all means, I'm very happy about the trade. I can totally understand if you think it is a slight overpay. 14th pick in a weak draft and the 2029 best of seconds or in middle of those picks. I can understand maybe you feel a little bit, you know, that you overpaid. But I think at the end of the day, Joe Cronin did a good job. And I personally love the trade. If it would have been like a 2029, you know, best of those picks, I would feel a lot different about it. But the fact that it is the middle, I think it's still a really good trade. And I love the addition of Denny Avdija. I didn't even think Denny Avdija was available, which is another thing. Like, that's kind of crazy that he was even traded. That was, I think it shocked all of us that the fact that Denny Avdija was even available, because he just had a breakout season in Washington. And I understand if you didn't watch any Wizards game and don't really know much about him, but trust me, he is a great player. There's still maybe potentially room for him to grow even more as well. And these overseas players are also taking over, so we get to add one to our starting five, which is awesome. I'm very excited about the Avdija addition for sure.
All right, so the Blazers do that. This doesn't have anything to do with the trade, but it's always a bummer when you're talking about 2 picks and you're looking at all these prospects for a long time, and then they end up trading a pick right before the draft or something, and then you obviously only get to talk about 1 pick after the first day instead of 2.
Right.
But that was the only downer, but that had nothing to do with the value of the trade or anything.
Yeah.
Just once, like you mentioned, Dalton Connect ends up falling there. And I do believe had the player we took not been on the board, I think they would have taken Dalton Connect there. They just really liked him a lot. And they were not super high on any of the forwards. I think they might have taken one at 14 if they didn't make this trade, if one of them fell, but obviously none of them did. So, I think even though they lost out on Connect at 14, it would have been pretty crazy. I think this trade was good. And then, so the draft starts an hour later. Were you surprised by the Atlanta Hawks taking Zachary Richichet, or was that who you were expecting them to take? What were your thoughts when you heard that name be called?
I wasn't surprised. Atlanta could have done one of two things. They could have said, screw what you think, Alex Starr, we're taking you no matter what. It does not matter that you don't want to come here. You don't work out for us, whatever. Take him. That's fine. I could see that side of it, but I can also understand Atlanta's perspective thinking that this player wants nothing to do with us and he doesn't want to be here, so why would we want to add him here? So I actually did like a mini mock draft right before, just 1 through 14 right before the stream or right before the draft started. And I started 4 for 4, so that felt pretty good. Richey nice. Sarr, and then Reed Shepard, and then Stephon Castle. So did pretty good there. And I was not shocked they took Richey. Richey, like, he doesn't strike me as a usual number one overall pick. It just felt like this was the circumstance Atlanta found themselves in. And I'm not sure Richey will ever be a superstar. Might be a very, very good role player. But this draft, of course, was considered weak, so maybe it's not that big of a deal. But yeah, I almost feel like if I were in their shoes, I would have said, screw what you think, Sarr, and just taken him. But I can understand why they didn't do so.
Yeah, I was really disappointed in the Sarr things. And he tried to come out after the draft and say he never said he wouldn't play for Atlanta.
Yeah.
He would have been fine. But I always get disappointed when players do stuff like that. Especially like, so he ends up going to Washington. It's not like Washington's some great franchise that like you felt comfortable developing there. He just so I've heard it be said about him that he's often taken the easier path to things. I hope that's not true, because that guy has all the talent in the world, and I think he was clearly the best player in this draft. So I agree, I would have taken him one, but they go Richey, or as Adam Silver called them, I don't even remember. It was like Richesher or something. He pronounced it really weird. Tough job for him, though.
Yeah.
Having to pronounce all the names. But Sarr goes two. Houston ends up keeping the pick at three. No trade. Take Reed Shepard. I think he's a good fit for them. Stephon Castle goes 4. Obviously, I think that's also a good fit for San Antonio. 5 is our first surprise. You mentioned you had the first 4, right?
Ron Holland, Detroit, yep.
So they take Ron Holland, which, I mean, if you look at it, I don't think it's like a bad pick if you just said a team took Ron Holland with the 5th pick. But the fact it was Detroit, when they have serious issues with shooting already, Osorio was not good shooting the ball last year as a rookie. Cade can shoot a little bit, but hasn't really proven that with no spacing around him that he can be super effective shooting the ball. And then they don't really have, I mean, they got Fontecchio, who I guess can space the floor a little bit. They made another trade today, which we'll talk about, but they pick up Tim Hardaway Jr.'s expiring contract. Who knows if it's just a contract like we talked about with Brogdon to the Wizards or not, or if he'll actually play for them. But I feel like Holland, Durin doesn't shoot it either. He's one of their big men, and then they got Jaden Ivey, who has questionable shot selection and shooting as well. So it's hard for me to see Holland getting added to this mix, especially when you're talking about him and Thompson on the wings. I don't know. I just feel like that was a really weird pick for me.
Oh, I agree. The shooting is not there. And when they took him, I was absolutely shocked. And part of me thinks that James Borrego took his name out of the job for that reason alone. That, like, this team is going to have no spacing, so he wanted nothing to do with the job. But, you know, head coach jobs are hard to come by. But maybe he just wants to wait for the right opportunity. And they still don't have a head coach, which is kind of crazy to think about. But yeah, but whoever gets the job there, the spacing on that team is not going to be good. You know, Ron Holland, like I said, it's not that the prospect, I hate, you know, that he was taken. Like you said, basically what you said, it's not that he was taken. It's just the situation he's going to where Assar doesn't shoot. Ivy has question marks. I guess Isaiah Stewart spaces the floor a little bit. Jalen Duren doesn't shoot. Cade is not a knockdown three-point shooter by any means. Like, the spacing on that team is just horrendous. Hardaway is a guy that will jack him up, of course. But yeah, I don't know, man. Detroit, their spacing concern is definitely going to be a problem for them, but I wish them luck in trying to fix it. We'll see what they're able to do.
Yeah, so then Charlotte's up next with the sixth pick. We have someone, J.K.L. Fisher, report that they're trading it to Memphis. Obviously, this was no secret. We've known for weeks the Blazers coveted Donovan Clingan. I'm sure they did not expect him to fall to seven and not have to move up at all, especially considering, by all accounts, Memphis tried very hard to move past them at several points. And Donovan Clingan was also in the conversation for the first pick with Atlanta, so he could have gone number one. And then no matter what they traded for afterwards, it wouldn't have mattered. Charlotte's up, and then it's reported that they have agreed to a trade with Memphis. So it's like, oops, there goes their guy. They're going to jump us and take Donovan Clingan one pick before us. And that's where I think it would have gotten really interesting who the Blazers would have taken.
Zach Edey would have been a Blazer, I think.
Yeah, I think that would have been a scenario where they might have taken Edey, especially since they had already traded the 14th pick. Because if Memphis is out of the way, maybe they might have thought that Edey would have slipped to 14 and you could have gotten him there, so you could have used your pick on something else. But yeah, I think it would have came down to Connect, Salon, or Edie if Clingan goes six to Memphis. But then there's rumors that, oh, wait a minute, the Blazers have entered the discussion and are potentially going to outbid Memphis and get that pick. And then all of a sudden it's just like, nope, Charlotte's keeping the pick. Yep. And the only thing I can think of as to why they wouldn't have wanted to trade back, it doesn't really make sense why they wouldn't have traded with us.
Right.
Because then Memphis, they would have controlled the seventh pick. They knew who Portland was picking. They could have made it. They could have said, like, we're only finalizing this trade if you take who you say you're taking, so there's no funny business or whatever. So I would have traded back. You probably could have gotten, probably could have asked for both seconds from Portland and traded those for future assets or something, or pick up some future seconds. So I always think when that kind of stuff happens, it's kind of bad GMing. But Hornets end up taking Tajon Salon, a guy I really like in this draft. And, yeah, I can understand trading back with Memphis. You think maybe the Spurs take him at eight. But, yeah, I don't get it there. So we won't know what would have happened if Memphis did move past us. But so the Blazers are up next. And I mean, it was for sure going to be Donovan Klingon if he was on the board.
Yeah.
They, by some accounts, had him very high on his board, on their board. I don't know if he was one, but he was definitely top four on their board. And so they get him at seven. They had to have been ecstatic that they didn't have to give up any assets. I also think that the Denny Abdia trade earlier in the day kind of made it a lot easier to justify taking a center, since you had already gotten a wing. And so if you pass up on like a Cody Williams, you already got your forward that you think is potentially better than any of the guys you could have taken there. So I think this was probably, when they made that Dia trade, the best case scenario for the Blazers. Just sit there and hope that Klingon falls, and he does. So what did you think about that whole process? And then what do you think of Donovan Klingon, someone you've talked about on the show before? Right. But now that he's a Blazer, what do you think?
So, yeah, I mean, that whole scenario. And I wasn't actually looking at Twitter, and nobody was telling me either. So mm-hmm. I wasn't even aware of what Jake Fisher was saying. I was just kind of like waiting for things to happen. But I was like waiting for Woj to come on the TV and say, oh, the Hornets are trading with the Grizzlies. Like, I was kind of fully expecting that to happen, but never ended up happening. And, you know, I heard from a Blazers reporter, so interpret this however you want, or believe it however you want. He said that's 2 years in a row, 2 years in a row now that Charlotte tried to leverage Portland and failed. So, I don't know what Charlotte's been trying to do to us, but I guess it hasn't worked. And Charlotte takes Tijon Salon, which is someone the Blazers might have been interested in, maybe before the Denny Avdija trade. But yeah, the Blazers, you know, they almost traded up, it sounds like, but the fact that Donovan Klingon and you and I both said, if Klingon, and it makes it feel better, as you said, with the Denny Avdija trade, like this just makes it 1,000 times better. But neither one of us wanted to give up assets for Klingon, but if he fell to our laps, that would be okay, and that'd feel all right. And that's exactly what ended up happening, which I'm, you know, extremely happy with. I think Klingon, overall, to me, Klingon, if nothing else, I think you got yourself a backup center for the future, forever. Like, or I think he's going to be a really, not forever, that's a weird thing to say, but, you know, for a long time.
I get you, yeah.
Yeah, I think if nothing else, he's going to be a good backup center. And I assume he'll play backup center for year number one. I know everyone has brought up the idea of trading Ayton. I just don't think that's going to realistically happen. I think Ayton will start this year. And no, Ayton should not play the power forward. I know people have brought that up. That's not something we should do. It should be Ayton at starting at center and allowing Klingon to back him up. And then, hey, if Klingon is showing flashes right away, and Chauncey, if he's still the head coach, believes that Klingon should start over him, you know, maybe eventually during the season, or maybe they make that decision next offseason. But I think this has put the clock on DeAndre Ayton 100%. His contract will be fully expiring this coming, or, you know, obviously 2 years left, and then next offseason is when they can make a decision with him. It'll probably be a lot easier to move. But yeah, I feel good about getting Klingon. The fact that he fell to our laps and we didn't trade up to get him, I'm very okay with it.
Yeah, I just didn't want to package 7 and 14 to move up to get one of these guys.
Right.
I felt like that would have been the mistake, is putting all your eggs into one basket. But now, instead of just getting Donovan Klingon, they got him and got Denny Avdija. So, yeah, you fill two spots of needs. I mean, I have to say, I am not a huge fan of Donovan Klingon's game in the modern NBA, especially since, for the Blazers, they have preached since Cronin's taken over how they need more athleticism, length, athletic length, not necessarily just length, you know. And so, in my opinion, I feel like if they keep Anfernee, I think Klingon works pretty good with Anfernee, at least on the offensive end. On the offensive end, though, for Scoot and Klingon, I don't know if it's really ideal to have a big that can't pop Maybe he develops that eventually, but as of right now, he hasn't shown the ability to pop out and hit too many threes. And so he needs to get the ball around the free throw line, kind of like where Ayton gets it, or around the rim. And so when you have a point guard who's coming off the screen and who's not really a threat to shoot either, and his main goal is to get downhill and get to the rim, there's going to be a lot of times where they're kind of occupying the same place, or they kind of allow the defenders to recover because they're kind of bunched together. So I don't know long-term if it's the most ideal fit with Scoot. But I think, you know, having him fall to seven, if that was your guy, sure, take him. And if they're ever going to have a chance to make it work with Anthony still on the roster, now we'll probably trade him and then we don't have this conversation anymore. But if you wanted to make the Anthony Scoot Sharp trio work, in my opinion, you had to have kind of perfect fits at that four and five to offset whatever weaknesses playing those three together would have. And I think you absolutely 100% got one of those two right with Abdia, who is great defensively in all the areas we need that forward position to be. You also still have Tamani Kamara, who was pretty good defensively as a rookie last year. So maybe you have those two that can really help out at the forward position to make the smaller backcourt work. And then you add a five who is a really good defender. The only issue with it is it's mostly around the basket. And in the NBA, it's a little harder to just camp around the hoop and play rim protector instead of, we've seen even the best rim protector in the league, Rudy Gobert, multiple defensive player of the years. In the playoffs, sometimes when teams go small and make them have to guard the perimeter, it becomes a problem occasionally. And so I don't know how it's going to work. The Bucks have kind of both extreme of this working and not working. 2 years ago, Brooke Lopez was, I believe, runner-up for Defensive Player of the Year. Had a great defensive season, mostly playing drop coverage. And then this year, he looked completely like cooked on defense, right? Like he was one of their biggest problems was his defense coming off a runner-up Defensive Player of the Year. It's crazy. But so my opinion, when teams figure out how to attack drop coverage or against teams that have a guard that's a playmaker or a shooter, it's tough to only be able to play drop. And I don't think you want like a 7-2 center switching out on the perimeter that often either. So, you know, maybe since you have Denny now, it'll work. And I think it's worth the shot because like I said, you didn't give up any assets to get Klingon. You stayed there at seven and got him. So you might have found the right five if you can somehow figure out how to still be effective on defense in the NBA. Of course, if he's around the rim blocking shots or affecting shots, he should be just as good as he was in college if he's in that area. I'm just afraid of him getting drawn out to the perimeter too often.
Yeah, I definitely understand that concern. Obviously, him on the perimeter will be something he will need to work on, and we'll see if he can ever develop that part of his game. Overall, excited about what we were able to do in the draft as Blazers fans, and I'm excited for what's next. I'm assuming we're far from done this offseason. I think there's still up to like five players that you could potentially trade this offseason, potentially. Not that I think all five will be traded, but I do believe there will be some more transactions for the Blazers, at least one. So I'm excited for what's to come. But I didn't know if you wanted to talk about like anything else that happened from this draft, like
Yeah.
One thing that was surprising, and I'll just bring it up now because maybe you're about to go with this. The Timberwolves, of all teams, were able to
get... Yeah, the next pick.
Yeah, the next pick, the Timberwolves were able to acquire Rob Dillingham, which is exactly what they need. They need a guard that, you know, Conley is great and all, but he is older. I think having Dillingham and you got Terrence Shannon later in the draft, the Timberwolves killed it. And they had little to no assets, so none of this really seemed possible. But the fact that they got Dillingham for those two picks in 2030 and like 2031 or whatever it is, what a great night for the Timberwolves. Something I did not expect to see from them. But yeah, having Dillingham as your future point guard behind Conley, maybe for this season, because their point guard situation behind Conley was not great. Obviously, you had McLaughlin and Monte Morris. Both will be a free agent this offseason. But having Dillingham is something that is super exciting for Minnesota for the future.
Yeah. Obviously, I think Sar is a better player. But if I had my life on the line and I had to choose what player in this draft would eventually be a star, I would say it's Rob Dillingham. And the fact that not only did the Timberwolves get him, like you said, they didn't seemingly have to give up a ton for him. They already owe a bunch of their future picks, like almost all their picks anyway, so you might as well just do this. They shown last year that they're right there on the cusp of contention. So you add maybe, you know, the best player in this draft eventually and at a position of need with Conley getting up there. But you still have both of them. Him and Anthony Edwards for the next decade is scary. I can't believe San Antonio just gave up the eighth pick like that. I know those picks could be really good. They got a swap and a pick, and the swap's only like top one protected. So it's likely going to be, even if it's two, it's awesome value. But I just thought they were in a position to take. They could have had their backcourt of the future with Dillingham and Castle. They could have taken Cody Williams. There's a number of things they could have done. I don't know if maybe they had that draft promise to
Castle about being a point guard.
Well, that and I think they were probably hoping Tijon Salon was still on the board there at eight. So I don't know if they trade that pick if they're still on the board or if he's still on the board. I think Charlotte kind of surprised them by taking him.
Yeah.
I feel like San Antonio had everything break their way to have just a huge, crazy offseason in which you added two like super talented players to Wemby and were set forever. And they're still really good with Castle and Wemby. Like, don't get me wrong, that's still a great combination. And Castle is a great fit there. I just felt like they had a chance to hit like a grand slam and they might have just hit like a solo homer instead.
Yeah, Minnesota did such a great job getting Dillingham. And San Antonio, honestly, for me, I think they're just getting future draft capital to eventually make a big trade for Wemby. I think I also truly do believe that Castle, you know, I kind of said it, but I think Castle really does want to play point guard, and San Antonio is going to give him every chance to do so. So, which is why I think Dillingham was not something that they were going to keep. But, man, Minnesota did a great job. And San Antonio, obviously, they got their point guard in Castle, it sounds like. So, overall, if San Antonio could turn those picks into something in the future, whether it's for like a star or player, which is something I think we could see, or maybe they're sitting with it in 2030 or whatever. So, overall, it was weird that Minnesota was able to get that pick with no picks in this draft, but hey, you know, they got Dillingham, which is exactly what they need.
The eighth pick, too, yeah.
Yeah, the eighth pick is pretty crazy. But I guess in a weak draft, maybe that's just kind of what it was, man.
Hmm. I think if Minnesota eventually wins a championship, I know they could have this year, but who knows what happened against Boston, even if they would have beaten Dallas. I think, though, moving forward, if they win a championship, you can look at this moment in the draft and you'll see how pivotal it was to their success. Just not only adding a good player, but just like adding that player that was the perfect player to add at the right time. And man, yeah, I was so impressed with the way they got things done with, like you said, little to no assets to do so.
So the NBA draft was a 2-day event. Obviously, I think they should go back to 1 day. But the second day, we had two picks end up with zero at the end of the day. We trade them out for 3 future seconds and a bunch of cash. But the biggest storyline from day 2, which I want to hear your opinion on this, is Rich Paul telling teams not to draft Bronny or he will go play to Australia. I know the NBA is not going to do a single damn thing about it, but to me, and I know players, and Rich Paul is a very powerful guy. He represents a lot of the NBA, but man, that just seems like something that should be totally illegal. Like, I don't know. It should be, but it is LeBron, so I don't think and it's the Lakers, so I don't think the NBA is going to do anything, and I don't think they're going to care. But not that I want to spend like a ton of time on Bronny, but I just thought that was a crazy thing that happened on draft night or, you know, day 2 of the draft.
Yeah. So Bronny ends up falling to 55, which is the Lakers pick. They take him. Yeah, I think, cause I'm pretty sure it was on this show where we've talked about LeBron's saying that I don't really prioritize playing with my son. That was BS.
All BS.
Absolute BS. And I told you guys that was BS, right? Like I said, he's trying to set it up to where a team won't take him just because he's doing that. And no one should have bought that for a minute. And that's exactly why now during the draft, Rich Paul has to come out and resort to those kind of, I agree. It's just like,
and LeBron James says he's making no decisions or has no impact on what the Lakers are doing.
Yeah.
It's just all BS. Yeah, it's just bullcrap.
Yeah, so I agree that, like, it's Bush League, man. If I was a team, I was just praying someone took him. Like, because I kind of wanted Bronny to end up in L.A. Because it doesn't affect them being good or anything, right? Right. but it, you know, it's a cool story for LeBron to end his career like that. But I was just like praying that a team would just call Rich Paul's bluff and be like, oh really? We're going to draft Bronny, like a guy who shouldn't even be drafted. And you're going to say he's going to refuse to play in the NBA because a team other than the Lakers drafted him. Yeah.
And then a news outlet was like, oh, some teams should draft Bronny and say, hey, we have your son, give me whatever we want. Like, like it's a Taken movie.
Like a
or
ransom.
Something.
Yeah.
Like that was funny.
Special set of scoops.
Yeah. Great movie. Goated movie, by the way. But yeah, the NBA, you know, the Bronny thing was dumb, but you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't affect much of anything. Like if it would have been a better prospect, that's way different. Like that's stupid. I think the NBA should definitely do something about that. But I don't think the NBA is that mad that Bronny is playing with his dad. Like they're not gonna do anything about it.
Yeah, think about how much attention that's gonna.
Yeah, that's gonna draw a lot of attention for them. But overall, the NBA should absolutely go back to 1 day. I'm not sure if they will. 2-day event was not it. It just the second round was weird. It was in a studio.
Yeah,
it was extremely weird. Yeah, I hated it. I did not.
Felt
like
very
it.
Flat. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Overall, though, the draft was fun. Just the 2-day event needs to go.
I think I just want to say something about Bronny, too, is that I do kind of think it's – I know he doesn't have the stats. He doesn't have anything that warrants this. But I do think he can eventually be like a role player in the NBA. So I don't think it's like that crazy that he got drafted.
Right.
It's just obviously if his name was not Bronny James, that he would have, I don't think he would have been drafted. He would have had to try to fight his way into the league as an undrafted free agent. But I do think he has, I don't think he's going to look like that out of place if he gets in a game. I mean, maybe just because he's like small and deer in the headlights type of thing. Maybe as a rookie, like jumping from high school to 1 year of college where you don't play that much to NBA is kind of a crazy fast upbringing. But I mean, this guy has been around his dad his whole career, so he'd seen it. He's seen how much, you know, pressure is on his dad at all times. So maybe of all people, he might be able to handle it.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead.
Oh, unless you're going to say anything else about the draft.
Wait. Yeah, I just want to say a couple things. Yeah. One, the Blazers part of this day two, it drives me crazy.
It was so confusing the whole night too. Like
That's the other thing that sucks about the NBA, man. Just announce the trades beforehand. Don't make the guys wear a stupid hat of a team they're not playing for and all that. Come on, NBA. So Joe Cronin, after the Gary Payton II trade to Golden State for 5 second round picks, got on the podium and talked about how second round picks are the new NBA currency and they're going to be so valuable moving forward. And yes, you get 3 for 1 with the 34th pick, but you know, that's a fringe. It's a 34th pick. It's not like we traded like a pick in the 40s or 50s, you know, for 3 picks. So that's a pretty high pick. And there were still some decent value players on the board. That depending on how you had him, you mentioned a guy, that he went in the first round. Sorry. Terrence Shannon Jr. went in the first round.
Yeah.
My bad. But like there were still some quality players. So that, it was fine. If you want to trade the 34th pick, you don't have roster spots, you want to get out of this draft, great. Get those 3 seconds and move on. But then we find out the Blazers traded 40 for 52. And then so you're thinking, okay, so what did they get to move back 12 spots? Like, because picks around there was still going for decent value. And yeah, obviously there were some players on teams that teams were coveting to move up to get. So when I found out it was just cash to move back, it's like, okay, that doesn't matter at all. It doesn't affect if you get cash and trade, just for people who don't know, you don't get like salary cap relief or anything for that. It's just cash to your teeth.
Yeah.
So it's basically like trading a pick for nothing. And so that was kind of confusing, but I was like, well, maybe there's a guy at 52 that they're not worried about if another team's going to take him. And then also, you know, later in the second round, players know that that's two-way contract range and probably not actual contract range unless you have like a good summer league. For example, Jabari Walker for the Blazers a couple years ago was probably going to be on a two-way, but then has a really good summer league and the Blazers signed him to the actual roster. So I thought, you know, the Blazers currently do not have a guaranteed two-way contract. There, you can have up to 3 of them. And so I thought the 52nd pick would have been a good time to grab one of those guys for that spot or one of those 3 spots. And then when I found out we traded that one, I was kind of relieved because I absolutely would have hated the pick. You probably heard me go off about it.
Yeah.
But, that guy made no sense after the Klingon trade and needing defense. And, it just would have been, like...
Yeah, both times we drafted, I was like, oh, my goodness, what are we doing? Like, Kolick, when we took Kolick, I didn't see we traded it yet. I'm like, wow, this probably means the end for Anfernee. And then everyone's like, oh, we traded. I was like, okay. And then we take that guy. I forgot that guy's name. And I was like, I've never heard of him in my life. And yeah, it was just Quentin so Post. Weird. Yeah, Quentin Post. That's exactly. I was like, okay, not sure. I don't know anything about him, but yeah, neither pick ended up being ours. So it was just like weird.
Yeah, so we traded that and we ended up getting cash for that. So we ended up, we took the 40th pick and got nothing for it, basically.
Yeah.
And I don't like that at all. Even in a weak draft, I hate that. I think that's bad use of your assets. And yeah, I'm not sure what happened there. But it's also weird, Brady, that we had the four picks heading into the draft
and come out with one rookie.
If you would have told me we traded three of our four picks, right?
Yeah.
I would have thought we probably traded them for like future picks, right?
Yeah.
But instead we come out of it with one less first in the future and one more second. So like worse draft capital than we started the day with in the future. If you would have told me we are only getting one player from the draft and also like decreasing our value of our future assets, like that would have been crazy. But granted, I didn't think a guy like Abdia would be available, like you kind of alluded to earlier. So that was crazy, man.
Yeah, very weird.
Yeah, and then as far as the second round goes, there was three guys I was hoping the Blazers would take at 34, and then obviously they didn't keep the pick, so it didn't matter. But the Raptors end up with two of my guys, Brady.
Mogbo and Chomchi, right?
Yep, yeah, they take those guys, and they got Jacoby Walter also in the first round, who I wasn't like super high on, but I thought, you know, the 19th pick, it was pretty good range for him to go. So I thought they, now that they have two of my favorite players in the second round, who I had, all three of those players were in my top 19 on my draft board, and they got him at 19, 31, and 57. So pretty good value if you're just looking at my board, which doesn't matter, obviously. But I think they got two steals. A lot of people think Mabo is a center, but I've been saying I think he's a wing. And then so it was kind of cool to hear their GM say that they believe he can play wing and stuff like that. And then the other winner besides Minnesota of the draft, in my opinion, well, I think Washington did well as also they got Bob Parrington with the pick they got from us. And then they also got Alex Saar, obviously. But the other team I thought did really well in this draft, just taking value when they got time for their picks, was Utah. They got Cody Utah Williams at 10 really and Isaiah Collier at 29, I think it was.
Yep.
So I think those were two really good picks from Utah. And I believe they got – I'm blanking on who they got in the second round.
Filipowski.
Oh, Filipowski, yeah.
Which there's some weird stories about him, but
we'll yeah, yeah. I wasn't high on Filipowski, but you know, getting him in the second round, I think was decent value. So, yeah, really good draft for Utah, I think as well. But that's all I had for the draft.
Yeah, so I think you talking about the Raptors is a perfect segue to what's next, because the Raptors have given out some extensions. They've extended Scottie Barnes, gave him the full max, and they've also extended Emmanuel Quickley today. I forget what Scottie Barnes' extension was, but obviously in the $200 million, you know, standard what guys are getting now. But Emmanuel Quickley gets 5 years, $175 million. So the Raptors quickly go from a rebuild or, a little bit of a retool rebuild to a very expensive once again. I don't exactly know what the salary numbers, but I know RJ Barrett's already on a contract that is not like crazy big, but he's making around like $26 million. And then Scottie Barnes is going to be on a max and quickly gets a big contract. So the Raptors are getting locked into their core slowly, but they had a good draft overall. So I kind of like what the Raptors are doing, but I also could see it maybe not paying off. But, because I think Quickley's contract. So I think Knicks were right to get rid of Quickley, because I think it would have made no sense to pay Quickley that much with Brunson. But if Quickley could take another step, then, you know, maybe that contract looks great. But yeah, guys are getting paid, man. That's for sure. Guys, contracts are getting massive, even for role players.
Yeah, I think them having Walter follow them will signify the end of Gary Trent Jr.'s time there. He's a free agent this summer. They got their shooter last year in the draft, Grady Dick. I thought quickly, and even RJ played pretty well once they came over. Didn't necessarily translate to wins, but you know, you have pretty solid starting lineup. I think they still have Olynyk, right?
Yep, Olynyk's still there.
So they got some depth at the big man position. If Shamshay takes or ends up being anything, that could, like I said, be the steal of the draft. I think he fits in really well. I think that's a good team for him to go to. Mogbo and Barnes on the wings now. Both are very similar in the fact that they can get to the basket, dribble, break their man off the dribble, quick first step, all that kind of stuff. Still going to have shooting issues, I think. But, that team's interesting, at least. And
they also picked up Bruce Brown's team option, so which was an obvious one to do, because he'll still have value around the league, but it'll be interesting to see if they end up trading him, which I think is very possible.
Yeah, I think they just picked that up to trade him.
Yeah, but
yep.
And then go ahead.
Yeah, I think there was that Bam signed an extension too.
Yeah, Bam.
3 years, 166, which was pretty fair value, I think.
Yeah.
For both sides there. Nick Claxton.
Yeah.
Signed four years, 100 million. Yep. So that was one that we missed. But you traded McHale, but you didn't want to lose Claxton for nothing. I think you might be able to still move him down the road. Contract's kind of similar to like a Jared Allen type contract. So, we'll see how it is moving forward. But even though Quickly's was pretty high, I don't think it was like egregious or anything.
Right.
I don't think any of these were. It seems like a lot of money.
Yeah, it does seem like a lot of money. But Dallas, and there were some rumors about this, I think even before the draft, have acquired Quentin Grimes. They send 3 second-round picks and Tim Hardaway to acquire Quentin Grimes, and I'm not sure if you saw this because maybe you did, but Mark Stein has reported that there is mutual interest between Klay Thompson and the Dallas Mavericks at the start of free agency, which I think is very interesting because I think with this trade, the Mavericks saved some money, and they will have access to an MLE, I think. Is that correct or something like that?
Or I don't know if it's the full MLE, but it's pretty close to most of it. And that's because Derrick Jones Jr. is a free agent,
right?
But they didn't have his bird rights, so they could only offer him like 175% of his current contract, but that was only a few million, so it wouldn't have been enough to probably keep him on the open market. But now they can potentially offer him somewhere between like 10 and 12 million a season to start off.
So can they offer Klay that much too? Or I know they can't get both of them, right? Because they can only get one or the other in this scenario. Or
so they could offer both.
Oh, it would, they could.
It would require a sign and trade though.
Oh,
so
okay.
If Golden State didn't want to lose Klay for nothing, I don't know if they would.
Like Cleveland's the only matching salary I can think of for like a Klay.
Yeah. I mean,
Josh Green, yeah, that's possible too.
Coming to play too. So I don't know if those teams would do business with each other, but I mean, that is a possibility. But maybe they go after Klay first and Derrick Jones Jr. is their second option or whatever.
Right.
I don't know. It seems kind of weird, but I don't know. I think if you're just talking fit for Klay, I don't think that's that bad. I wouldn't like pay him a ton of money.
Yeah. So Quentin Grimes is a good addition to Dallas. I like it. He went to Detroit and didn't really do too much there. I don't think he played a ton. Obviously he kind of had some gripes with Tom Thibodeau in New York, which is why he eventually got moved, and Detroit got Tim Hardaway. I'm assuming he'll probably play there this season and then won't be there much longer after that. Maybe he's moved to the deadline. So pretty solid trade for Dallas. They get another addition there, and they access some money to either pay Derek Jones or pay Clay or get both of them. So Dallas is still doing moves, which I like for them because, yeah, they just made it to the finals, and they've done a great job. But, you know, you don't stay complacent. You keep going. And if they can get Clay, I would love that for them, to be honest. I think getting Clay would be awesome. I'm not sure if they'll be able to. And I know Mark Stein, I think, is a reporter out of Dallas, which is why he has some intel on that. But man, that sounds like a lot of fun. I kind of like Clay, and I know there's been talks about Clay to Orlando, but I would love Clay in Dallas. That I think will be, you know, a team that would fit a lot better in. Not that he wouldn't fit in Orlando, but I kind of like it, the idea of Clay in Dallas.
Yeah. Well, Clay. Yeah, that's one of the biggest stories of the offseason. Maybe there's talk about Paul George to the Warriors.
Right.
So maybe there's some, like, obviously if they get Paul George, they're probably letting Clay walk. So who knows what's going to happen there. Actually, in terms of Quentin Grimes, I think this is an awesome buy low guy for Dallas. It's someone who has shown the ability to hit threes in the past at a high clip. I think if he's going to regain some of that after an injury-riddled season, I think this is the perfect place to do it, playing off those two guards. And he's also a very underrated defender as well. So good defender, good shooter. I think that's the kind of player that could pop, as we saw, like a PJ Washington play well for them after being acquired last year. So I think that's a good move for Dallas. You basically get a cheaper, much cheaper, and potentially better version of Tim Hardaway Jr. if he's healthy.
Exactly. And then the big move of the night, the NBA has another big trade. DeJounte Murray is being traded to the New Orleans Pelicans. Funny enough, when I did a Hawks offseason video, it was either the Pelicans video or the Hawks video. I did trade DeJounte Murray to the Pelicans because I thought that made sense, but I thought Brandon Ingram might be involved. He was not, so the Pelicans still have Brandon Ingram. And the Pelicans, you know, get DeJounte Murray, and they trade out Dyson Daniels, two first-round picks, one of them being the worst of the Pelicans and the Bucks pick in 2027, and then that Lakers 2025. And then I saw that EJ Liddell is actually also in the trade. Saw that on Spotrac.
Larry Nance Jr. as well.
Yeah, Larry Nance. So it's Larry Nance, EJ Liddell, and Dyson Daniels to Atlanta with a couple draft picks. And the Pelicans get DeJounte Murray. So I love it for New Orleans. Atlanta, it's not a strong return for a team that strikes us as trying to still continue to win. When I first saw the package, it made me think that Atlanta may move Trae Young next. But the problem with that is they don't have their future draft picks either because of the DeJounte Murray trade. So I'm not sure if they eventually do trade Trae Young, if they could do something with San Antonio like Brooklyn did and get their picks back. Maybe they still plan on building around Trae. But yeah, very interesting trade. I think this is a great addition for New Orleans, especially since that Lakers 2025 pick, you know, I'm assuming they're thinking LeBron is staying, so they don't really care. They think at least they probably think the Lakers will at the very least be a play-in team, and you know, it'll be like a middle of the pack pick, which this is still a good draft, so maybe that's a mistake. And they could still move Brandon Ingram despite what Woj said that they might try to keep him. I still think they should move Brandon Ingram if possible. But yeah, very interesting trade. Let me know what did you think about when you first saw it?
Yeah, I thought it was – I was kind of surprised it was New Orleans. Like, I knew they were a possibility to get him, but I didn't really think it would be the team he went to. And the second thing I thought of was actually the opposite. I thought, oh, they chose trade, which is exactly what we thought. If they were going to stick with one of them, I think we both thought that it should be Trae, not DeJounte. Now, I also thought they should have paired him with Alex Sarr as well. But I don't know what this signifies for them. For the Pelicans, I think obviously since the CJ trade, they've been trying to go for it. My dog is really lapping up the water.
She's really thirsty.
Sorry.
All good.
So ever since the CJ trade, they've obviously been trying to win. You know, you can debate how successful that's been. They've been trying to make the playoffs. They have at least done that. But I don't know if it's anything more than that. But I do like DeJounte there.
Yeah, me too.
And I don't, it's going to be interesting to see what they do. I know they got Missy in the draft, which I thought was a pretty good pick at 21. But yeah, I don't know, man. I could see that being a really good fit. I could also see it being much like Trey and DeJounte were in Atlanta with CJ. Yet to be seen on that one. But I don't like New Orleans giving up that pick next year, but I do understand like why they're trying to still go for it. You got a guy like Zion, you at least have to try, in my opinion, and they are. Atlanta, I think they're okay if they try to still win. I think they're better than last year. Right. You got Richesse now. You got Jalen Johnson. That's really, really good. Potentially 3-4. You have, and they're both good defensively. You still have a Kongwu, who's a little undersized for center, but I know they still have Capella too. But yeah. You know, he was showing signs of deteriorating last year. But yeah, so you got a Kongwu, and now you've got Larry Nance Jr. So you've got a couple of okay bigs there. You drafted Kobe Bufkin the year before. He hasn't really played much. I really liked, I think they're the team that ended up trading for Nikola Jurušić.
Miami and Atlanta swapped.
That's someone who I also had. I had 14th, I think, on my big board. So I think he was a good addition for them. And I think they're going to be in a position to maybe use that Capella contract and stuff like that to go for it. If I'm them, I'm giving it one last run with a little different personnel with Trey. You mentioned their picks not being owned by them. It's actually the next 3 years they have unprotected, either given to San Antonio or pick swap given to San Antonio. So it makes no sense for them to rebuild the next 3 years
right,
and lose that pick as a high pick for nothing. So if I'm them, I'm keeping Trey for this season at least and going for it.
With that, I have a couple of ideas I was thinking in my head when I saw this trade. So for the Pelicans, I still think you should trade Brandon Ingram, because I really think if you give Trey Murphy the chance to start, he could potentially blossom. Now, as far as
Trey Murphy and Herb Jones off the bench, though, man,
that's still disgusting.
That's an incredible bet. Like your top seven. I feel really good.
Trey Murphy's a much better fit next to Zion than Ingram is. I don't know. I agree.
Now, I love Trey Murphy.
I don't think you should trade Brandon Ingram for nothing. But here's my idea. I think Cleveland has Jarrett Allen. So if you could find a way to maybe have, I know Cleveland would have to send back more salary because Ingram makes more money than Jarrett Allen. But if you could send, you know, the main package being Jarrett Allen for Brandon Ingram, I think that makes sense for both sides, because Cleveland looks like they're going to keep Donovan Mitchell. So having a co-star in Brandon Ingram next to Donovan Mitchell, I think would fit fairly well. And then you have Evan Mobley at the five, who, has the ability to shoot from three. So he'll be a good fit next to Brandon Ingram. So I think I like that potentially if that were to happen. And then, so that's what I'm thinking for the Pelicans. For the Hawks, now obviously, like I said, they could just run it back with Trae Young, and that's fine. But if they were to trade Trae Young, here's my idea, and this is a long shot. I don't think it's actually going to happen. But what if the Hawks said, hey, you can, again, this is probably not going to happen, but you could have Zachary Richichet if you give us all of our picks back or one or two of them. Because I know the Spurs had interest in Richichet. So I don't think that's going to happen, obviously. Nah. But that's definitely something that maybe, no, it's not going to happen. But that was kind of an idea I thought in my head. Like
That'd be crazy, yeah. Justify it by saying he wouldn't have been the number one pick in any other draft in history or something. I don't know.
Because the Spurs aren't trading for Trae Young. They just drafted Castle, right? So, like, if there was anybody the Spurs would potentially give them their picks back for, I feel like it could be Richichet, but I think that would be a huge risk by San Antonio doing that, too. So, probably not going to happen. It'll probably just be simply running back with Trae Young. But that was, like, something I thought of. But,
Yeah,
very, very much a long shot.
I think if they do trade Trae Young, it would have to be to San Antonio to get their fix back, or whatever they get from the third team, whatever goes to San Antonio for their fix back. Like, it would have to be something special like that.
Exactly.
Because I don't think it's a good idea else otherwise. Yeah, I do agree that they should start Trey Murphy, so maybe they should trade Brandon Ingram. I do like the Jared Allen idea because I don't know if Missy's ready to do what they're hoping to do by acquiring DeJounte, and that's, you know, get higher up in the playoff standings, avoid the play-in, stuff like that. Yeah, I'd probably use him if I'm going to get a center. Ingram for Ayton.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Although I don't want Ingram here.
No, I know. I don't either. That was a joke. Another third team.
Their salaries match up pretty perfectly, though.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
So I don't know. I think it was very clear that Atlanta had to break him up, and they did. So I don't mind that at all.
Yeah, but I mean, that was pretty much it. It was a lot to talk about. And guys, I don't know if you were aware of this. By the time you're seeing this, free agency starts tomorrow. So the chaos is only going to keep commencing from here. By the time you see this video, there is a chance that another trade happened. Like, there is a chance maybe something big happened. But we were recording this, at midnight my time on the 29th. So, more than likely, something may have happened, but we don't know. So, but man, what a fun episode. There was a ton to talk about. Go ahead.
We didn't have another one of episodes. Was it the James Harden trade that broke while we were recording?
Low-key, I've been looking at Twitter to see if anything would break, but yeah, nothing has happened. Funny. Yeah, that would be
nice. So free agency starts Sunday, June 30th, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern. That's when you can start talking to free agents that aren't your own team. This year was the first year of being able to negotiate with your own free agents, so that's why we've had several signings already with re-signings on your own team. That's usually a day when a lot of fireworks happen, and it's 4 days before July 4th, so but every year there's some crazy stuff that goes down. And, we'll see if the Suns tamper with Drew Eubanks or
something along the lines of that.
You stream for that, right?
Yeah, I have the last 2 years. It's been a ton of fun when I do that. A couple years ago, I had my highest viewed stream ever, so I don't know if I'll ever get to that again, but, man, that was a ton of fun years ago. So I'll probably be
How many views is that?
For me, my highest... I forget exactly what it was, but it was above 1,000. That's the most I've ever had in a stream at one time. Because I don't stream that often, so like...
Oh, you're talking about concurrent viewers.
Viewers at the at one time. It was pretty wild. The chat was insane. Like, that was overwhelming. I've never had that happen before. If I streamed like more often, I feel like that wouldn't be like too crazy. But for me, as someone that rarely streams, that was really a really cool moment sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, Brady over on his Crushables YouTube channel will be live on Sunday, as will I over on Blazers Uprise with Tori. breaking down every signing, every trade that happens, reacting to them live. So it's always a lot of fun. One of the best stream days of the year, like you mentioned. So yeah, join one or have us both on, try to listen to us both.
that would be stressful probably. Or yeah.
Go back and forth, support us both, please.
And, I've seen a couple of guys pop in back and forth from you from your guys' fan base. That's been pretty cool. So thank you guys for the love y'all show me on my channel as well.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't know about you, but the draft streams were awesome.
Yep.
For the most part, everyone in chat was a lot of fun to discuss basketball with, and went pretty well. So yeah, it was very fun week. And got some Blazer action actually happening, so that'll be fun. And hopefully that's not the end of the Blazers trade.
There's no way it will be, right? Sure. I feel like we'll do more. We'll see, though.
Well, I mean, we haven't mentioned this yet, so we briefly touched upon it. But the Blazers went from being a little over $7 million and having 16 players, including the two roster spot or the two draft picks in the first round, about a little over $7 million over the cap to a little over $4 million under the cap now. So they don't have to worry about paying the tax currently. But with the seventh pick, Donovan Clingan, and the rest of the returning roster, because everyone outside of Moses Brown was under contract for next year, or at least has an option to be under contract next year. And so the Blazers currently have 15 players under contract, the amount you for a full roster. So it is possible that they just keep that those 15
and run it back.
And run it back. But I think they will be, I don't know if they'll be aggressive, but I think they will be open to moving several of their players still. And we'll see if they make a big trade or maybe a couple of smaller ones just to free up some position battles or, you know, balance the roster a little bit. So yeah, that's what's to come. But the Blazers currently a little under the tax, still can't really take back too much more than they're sending out. You don't want to go back into the tax. So they're probably not going to have like a big lopsided trade in where they're taking a bunch of money back. They're probably also not doing like a Jeremy Grant for four players type of trade where it makes them have 18 players on the roster instead of 15. I think the team to watch moving forward is still Philadelphia. And if they lose out on Paul George to Golden State or any other team, it's very interesting to see which way they're going to go to use that cap space. I don't see them just not renouncing their free agents and then using it to re-sign like Tobias Harris and all those guys.
There's no way they can bring Tobias back to Philly.
Yeah. So I think if the Blazers are going to move Jeremy, I think Dallas made it a little harder for them to do a trade for someone making that much. Today, I mean, they could still make it work with like Kleber and or Kleba and Josh Green and maybe another small contract, but it made it a little tougher not having that expiring contract and Tim Hardaway Jr. to use as filler. And then the Lakers, who knows, but I think if the Blazers are going to deal Jeremy Grant, Philly makes a lot of sense because if they can take his contract outright, that basically clears up any worry about the cap for the Blazers until you have to start signing players like Scoot and Sharp to extensions, which is still a couple years away. So I think maybe that might be a thing to look at, but I don't know if they're really actively, aggressively shopping those guys or simply just, if you call, they'll listen to what you have to say, but probably not going to happen. Or they could move Ant in the next couple days, and it just completely changes the makeup of the team moving forward. I don't expect them to sign any free agents, though.
I don't either. I don't expect any free
agents to sign for this. It might be super boring if they don't make a trade, because we're not going to get anything to talk about in terms of the Blazers. But around the league should be plenty of fireworks. And we'll be here next week to talk about it all. But we'll have another stream where we have a ton to talk about. Or another video, I should say.
Yeah. My gut is telling me that maybe not. If it's not in the off season, I think at the deadline, depending if this team doesn't do anything, and I know this is a team that everyone's talking about for him, I think there's a good chance that Anfernee does get traded to Orlando. I think there is a good chance of that. I don't know. My gut's telling me that's going to happen. I don't know why. It's something that might happen, but I we'll see. We'll see.
It's hard for me to listen to Joe Cronin talk about, because he was asked, what does this mean for DeAndre Ayton that you drafted Donovan Klingon, right? And he's like, we're not worried about that right now. We're worried about getting as many good players as possible. So it would then, to me, be another contradiction from him if he then turns around and trades Anfernee, especially if it's mostly just salary filler and picks for the future. When you're in talent acquisition mode still, you don't trade talent away in talent acquisition mode. You keep acquiring talent. So it seems weird if they push some of their future picks in for Avdija and then move on from one of their, if not their best player, you know? So,
yeah, we'll see. I think there will at least be one trade. At least. Maybe it's just a boring Robert Williams trade for a second or two, but, So look out for that. I think Jeremy Grant to Philly would be awesome for Philadelphia if that's how they want to use their cap space, if they strike on everybody else. Part of me wonders if Philly taking them completely into their cap space would lower the value of what we get in return. Like, maybe Philly says, we'll only give you one first to do this because we're taking him entirely into our cap space. But hey, the first they have,
if that's the 2028 Clippers pick, I'll take it.
If it's just a 2028 Clippers pick for Grant, and they take his contract entirely with nothing coming back other than that Clippers pick, I would still do that. I would absolutely still do that. So I definitely think that's something to look out for, though. Dallas is completely out of the running now for Grant, I think, with them getting Quentin Grimes and moving Hardaway's contract. Sacramento is still a team to watch out for. LA has been mentioned as well. I think those are the three teams to really look at if Grant were to be moved this offseason.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I just want to say once again, thank you for watching these episodes. We really appreciate it. If you're not already subscribed to this channel or the Blazers Uprise main channel or Crushables YouTube channel, go ahead and please subscribe to those. And the easiest way to support us is to just leave a like on the video. But we also love reading your comments. So please leave a comment about what you thought about all the trades, what specifically, if you're a Blazer fan, what you thought of getting Denny Avdija and drafting Donovan Klingon. Are you thinking Joe Cronin hit it out of the park with those two moves? Or are you a little disappointed? Or what? Like, just give us what you think about those trades and draft picks. That's going to do it for this episode. Appreciate you all. Have a good day. I hope everyone enjoys free agency. Come join us and let us know live reactions as well in the chats of both of our streams. Hope to see you there.
Yep.
But until then, Brady.
Peace out. Go Blazers.